This recording is for Rafael Borja with iAdvise on Friday, June 12, 2015 at 9:30 a.m. Central Time. Davivienda First Quarter 2015 Earnings Conference Call. Good morning. My name is Austin, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the Davivienda First Quarter 2015 Earnings Conference Call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question during that time, simply press star, then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, please press star 2. Thank you. I will now turn the conference call over to Kenya Vargas of iAdvise Corporate Communications. Ms., please go ahead.
Thank you, Austin, and good morning, everyone. Welcome to Davivienda's First Quarter 2015 Earnings Conference Call. Today's call is for investors and analysts only. Therefore, questions from the media will not be taken. Joining us from Bogota, Colombia are Mr. Efraín Forero Fonseca, Chief Executive Officer, and Mr. Ricardo León Otero, Chief Financial Officer. They will be discussing the results for the press release distributed this morning. If you have not yet received a copy of the earnings report, please visit www.davivienda.com on the Investor Relations section, where there is also a webcast presentation to accompany the discussion during this call. If you need any assistance, please contact iAdvise in New York at 212-406-3693. Before we begin, I would like to remind you that any forward-looking statements made today by Davivienda's management are subject to various conditions and may differ materially. These conditions are outlined in the last page of the company's press release in the disclaimer, and we ask that you refer to it for guidance. It is now my pleasure to turn the call over to Mr. Efraín Forero, Chief Executive Officer of Davivienda, who will begin the presentation. Mr. Forero, please go ahead.
Thank you very much. Good morning, and thank you for your interest in Banco Davivienda. It's always my pleasure to present to you our main highlights on the financial results for the first quarter of 2015. As you already know, from this year onward, we begin presenting our results under International Financial Reporting Standards. Therefore, all figures contained in this presentation have been calculated under IFRS. Variation and forecast will be under such standards. I'd like to begin with this first quarter main highlight, which you can find on slide 5. In general terms, we have a good performance over the quarter and are forecasting a good performance for the year. Our net financial margin grew 22.5% compared to last year's first quarter, reaching 815.3 billion pesos for the quarter. Our income before taxes grew 9.7% when compared to March of 2014, reaching 413.8 billion Colombian pesos. Our net income grew 1% year over year, due mainly to change of the tax base for this year. We had an allowance to net loans indicator at 1.4, which is a good indicator of net expenses for our allowance. Another important aspect was our solvency ratio for March 2015. Total solvency closed at 20.2% with a 7.04% of core capital ratio, leaving a portion of capitalization for April in which core capital reached 8.14. Later on, Mr. Ricardo León will explain furthermore this aspect of the different topics that were taken in our assembly in March. Moving on to slide 6, I would like to present our personal banking results. Our consumer loan portfolio grew by 2.8 trillion Colombian pesos over the year, representing a growth of 24.1 over the last 12 months. Mortgage loans presented as well a strong performance, growing 20.4% compared to first quarter 2014. Within the consumer loan segment, car usage increased by 225.9 billion, 6.5% more than third quarter of 2014. Additionally, disbursement in payroll loans for the third quarter of 2015 was $225.9 billion, a 14.8% increase over the same quarter of 2014. Talking about vehicle loans, disbursement in Colombia during the quarter was 49.3% more than during the first quarter of 2014. That represents 65 billion pesos. In the international subsidiaries, consumer loans grew in dollars but by 19.4% when compared with third quarter last year. Costa Rica, in particular, exhibits a 28.5% increase in the same period. On slide 7, you can see our corporate banking results. Our commercial loans portfolio grew 20% over the last 12 months, increasing by 6.3 billion Colombian pesos. Growth of our corporate loan portfolio in Colombia, which represents more than 67% of our total commercial loans, grew 21% year over year. Another growth driver within this segment, which presents outstanding performance during the quarter, was our construction loan portfolio, which grew 20.1% year over year as well. I would like to highlight that during the third quarter, the international subsidiaries grew 14.2% in commercial loans when compared to the same period last year, a strong result in the different regions where we have presence. Slide 8 presents results for our international subsidiaries. Our net income reached $22.3 million, 50% more than in the first quarter of 2014. Our return on equity for our subsidiaries reached 10.2%. As you can see in the graph on the bottom of the page, our assets increased by 13.3% in this quarter, reaching $6.4 million, while our gross loan portfolio grew 15.6%, reaching $4.3 million during the same period. Now please go to slide 9 to reference to tax reform. Wealth tax was approved last year in December. The rate for years 2015 to 2017 were determined to be 1.15, 1.0, and 0.4% of the liquid equity. This increases the total tax burden for corporates in Colombia. Payment of this tax, in our case, represents Colombian pesos of 61 billion for 2015, and it was recognized against the occasional reserve after being approved by the General Assembly of Shareholders in the extraordinary meeting held on 31st January 2015. In the year 2014, income tax rate represents a 34% of income, including 9% reserved for equally special purposes. The tax called CRED in its abbreviation in Spanish. This special purpose tax was increased another 5% as a surcharge in the year 2015. For 2015, this surcharge is equivalent to the Colombian peso, 29.6 billion pesos, as an advance payment. Finally, tax on financial transactions was maintained unchanged. Now please go to slide 10. IFRS deserves an explanation on our transaction, in our statement of December 2014. I will introduce main impacts, which will be explained at the end of this presentation. For 2015, IFRS accountability standards are in place. The main change in comparison to COLGAP standard for last December, the statement are assets increased by Colombian pesos 600 billion under IFRS in the consolidated balance sheet at December 31, 2014. Liabilities increased by 124 billion Colombian pesos with regard with the previous standard. Equity increased Colombian pesos 485 billion under IFRS. Net income impact in Colombian pesos 137 billion for the year under IFRS. Most of these recognition imply one-time only movements, of which only marginal ones will be required in the future. Mr. León will expand on this issue later on, but let me first close this section with this next slide. On slide 11, we present other important highlights of the quarter. General Assembly of Shareholders took place last March. In this meeting, cash dividends of 350 billion pesos were declared, a reason of 788 pesos per share. This represents a 25% increase in the dividend compared to 2014 payment. The Assembly as well declared an increase in core capital by Colombian pesos, 930 billion to a sub-dividend of Colombian pesos, 753 billion, and reorganization of equity accounts to include in core capital reserve for Colombian pesos, 177 billion. Regarding to debt market activity, last February, senior bonds were issued for a total value of Colombian pesos, 700 billion, with a bid to cover of 2.4 times the total amount issued. In May, another Colombian pesos of 400 billion worth of subordinated debt was issued. Finally, for this result, we think it is important to relate the devaluation of our currency. Colombian peso devaluated by 31.1% year over year at March and 7.7% when compared to end of December 2014 rate. I will now leave you with Mr. Ricardo León, our Vice President of Risk and Planning, who will present our financial report for the fourth quarter in further detail.
Okay. Good morning. It's a pleasure to begin with you sharing our financial results for the first quarter of 2015. I would like to remember that in this presentation, all the figures are presented on IFRS, the new accounting standard. Let me begin with slide 13, which describes the dynamics of our consolidated assets. And this is why we can see that the consolidated assets closed at 73 trillion pesos. In the quarter, we have a growth close to 7.2%. This growth is explained by a growth in Colombia that closed in this first quarter at 16.2%, and in our international business, this growth is 13.3%. So the difference between 23% and 16.2% is explained by the exchange rate changing. And in this asset, it's very important the performance that we had in our loan portfolio. The loan portfolio is growing 25.6%. And in the next slide, in a few minutes, we explain what is the composition of this loan portfolio. And other important movement is the growth that we have in our cash portfolio that is growing around 33.2%. That is explained by a specific condition of the liquidity in this period. Now I would like to move to slide 14. On slide 14, you can see the performance of our loan portfolio in more detail. I break down the portfolio. The portfolio is growing very well in terms of growing. The growth is 25.4%. And we can see that commercial portfolio is growing 28.3%, and consumer portfolio is growing 24.1%, and mortgage portfolio is growing 20.4%. The total portfolio, as I said, grew 25.4%, and in Colombia, the loan portfolio grew 19.8%. The difference is explained by the exchange rate. However, it's important to show the growth that we have had in our international business, that the growth was at 15.2%. So, as we can see, the driver of this significant growth has been in the oil portfolio, but mainly in commercial and consumer portfolio. And if we move to slide 15, we have the credit risk ratio and the coverage ratio. In credit risk ratio, we see that the ratio is 1.88%. In the last two quarters, that ratio was 1.75 in December 2014, and in September 1.81%. What is the main explanation? We have of these figures during the September, December, and March of this year. In the last semester of 2014, we had an important growth in our portfolio that allowed us to reduce that ratio. And right now, in this quarter, we have been growing in a lower dynamic than in 2014, in the last quarter of 2014. So, when we compare this ratio with the old standard, the difference is 20 basis points. But right now, we have the same level of risk that we had during the last year. We didn't observe any change in terms of our risk profile. We could see two lines. The dashed line is the coverage that we have in our balance sheet. And in the solid line, we describe the coverage ratio, including the reserves that are registered in the capital account as a result of the conversion between the old accounting standard to the new IFRS standard, accounting standard. So that difference is specific, the difference between the incurred losses against the expected losses. We have that reserve in our capital, but finally we made that reserve to protect the credit risk in our performance. In this slide, you could see in the right side the same ratio for the commercial portfolio. In commercial portfolio, you could see a credit risk ratio in 1.6%, higher than December and September. But I have to say that in September and December, particularly in commercial portfolio, we have a very significant growth in this period. And now the ratio is a little bit more, but explained by that situation that the region of growth is lower than in the last quarter. However, in commercial portfolio, we have some deterioration in agricultural portfolio, but also in corporate portfolio and small and medium business, we don't have any particularly risk, any additional risk. So that is the situation of commercial portfolio. In coverage, we are staying in a level of 190. That is a very good level of coverage that is falling a little bit compared with December. But when this ratio, the mix between the credit risk ratio and the level of provision and reserve in the capital, but in the this quarter is increasing a little bit. Obviously, the coverage fall a little bit. Moving to the next slide, slide 16, we could see the same ratios for consumer portfolio and mortgage portfolio. In consumer portfolio, we could see that the credit risk ratio has a good behavior, 2.16%, and in the last quarter in December was 2.24%, and right now this ratio is lower than the last three quarters. And the level of coverage is over 260%, so specific in March is 285%. In mortgage, we feel absolutely comfortable because the level of credit risk is around 2%. It is necessary to remember that in September of 2014 and November of 2014, we did a securitization of mortgage portfolio, so that securitization includes the better quality of loans. And obviously, the portfolio increased a little bit in credit. In terms of coverage, we are keeping the same level of coverage, over 50%. But in this portfolio, we have a good guarantee. Remember that the LTV, when each mortgage loan is tracked, is close to 70%, and the LTV of the portfolio is close to 45%. So it's a very important and significant coverage. I would like to move to slide 17. Slide 17 describes the funding sources. In year-to-year basis, the funding sources have been growing 21% and 1.4%. Here, maybe it's necessary to recommend that the structure, the composition of this portfolio has been changing a little bit. The demand deposit reduced its participation in the structure of liability, reduced 260 basis points, and that percentage was distributed in the term deposit bonds and credit with other institutions. That composition finally generates an additional cost of our financial funding. 21.4% of growth is explained by Colombia grew 14.5%, the international business grew 14.4%. So the difference between 14.5% to 21.4% is explained by the exchange rate change. I would like to move to slide 18. In the slide 18, we can see the capital structure and the ratio to measure the level of capitalization. In December, with the old standard, we have a solvency ratio that is 10.9%, and in the last March in 2014, the solvency ratio closed at 12.2%. But it's very important to point out that the T1 ratio is 7% in March 2014, and in December, this T1 ratio was 6.1%. And in that is the result of the decision that our last annual shareholder meeting made related to increase the legal reserve to distribute dividends or pay dividends by shares. And finally, in March, as a result of this decision, the level of solvency is 12.4%, and T1 ratio is 8.1%. That is a very solid level of capitalization. Moving to the next slide 19, we have the net financial margin. The net financial margin is 22.5%. In a consolidated basis. And this growth is driven by a significant growth in loan income that is 22.9%, and the total financial income is growing 24.8%. In addition, on the other side, the financial expenses grew 35.9% as a result of the structure of the liability that has been changing in the last quarter. This 22.5% of growth is explained by Colombia, that is that grew 19.3%, our international business grew 17.2%, and obviously the difference between 19.3% and 22.5% is the impact of the exchange rate change. As a result of this performance, our net interest margin in March 2015 is 6.73%, and in December on the same standard is 6.76%. In the old standard, this mean was around 6.9%, 10%, okay? I would like to move to slide 20. In this slide, we are describing the behavior of the expenses. In expenses, we have the total expenses that grew 18.8%. However, in Colombia grew 12.8%, and our international business grew around 3%. So the difference between 12.8% and 18.7% is explained by the exchange rate in movement. Obviously, inside that 12.2%, we have other elements to consider in Colombia. In Colombia, personal expenses is growing around 16%. However, around 7% is explained by incentives that we pay for our sales forces as a result of the a very solid performance in 2014. Another 4.5% is explained by new employees in Colombia and in Central America. And finally, the other 4.5% is explained by a regular increase that we have in the salary. In terms of operating expenses in Colombia, that figure is around 10%, and other expenses 10%. The 10% is explained in almost 5% by the loyalty program that responds to the growth that we have in this quarter. Remember that the use of a credit card has been growing over 14%. So obviously, the loyalty program increased the expenditures. In this slide, we have the efficiency ratio. The efficiency ratio in the first quarter of 2015 is 50.8%, and in December, on the same basis, on the same standard, this is 16.7%. In the other standard, this ratio was close to 54.5%. So, that is the difference to apply the new international standard accounting. Slide 21. I would like to summarize this slide. The net income is 302 billion pesos. And affected by additional taxes that represent 30 billion pesos and other 20 billion pesos in taxes as a result of the release of provision of mortgage portfolio. On the other side, in other income expenditure, we have additional costs by exchange rate changing. Change that represents a very important number, close to 100 billion pesos. So The net income in this quarter is affected by taxes and by the exchange rate in a very significant way. The ROE is 12.2%. In December, under the same standard, is 15.3%. In Colombia, we were close to 15.5%. I would like to move to the last slide. In the slide 23, explain the main difference against Colgate and the new accounting standard. In this process to apply the new standard, we observed that the assets increased by 609 billion pesos, explained mainly by the changing of the chain of model between incurred losses, expected losses to incurred losses. That process of changing that methodology released 602 billion pesos that in the new standard are moving to the capital account. In liabilities, we grew 124 billion pesos impacted by two important issues. The deferred taxes liability by 443 billion. And on the other side, we reported some time deposits, and in the new accounting standard, we have to eliminate that report of time deposit. And the equity grew 485 billion, explained mainly by the allowance that we released in the assets that are now in account of the capital by 602 billion pesos. The impact of exchange rate in our control in investment, that change is registered in the capital view, and other important or significant impact is the deferred tax impact. That is 443 billion less in the equity. And in the net income decreased in December 2014, 137 billion pesos, mainly due to the investment restatement that is classified in equity by 220 billion pesos. These are the most important impacts or difference between Colgate and IFRS standard. We finish our explanation.
At this point, we would like to go to question and answer.
Thank you. At this time, we will open the floor for questions. If you would like to ask a question, please press the star key followed by the one key on your touchtone phone now. Questions will be taken in the order in which they are received. If at any time you would like to remove yourself from the questioning queue, you may press star 2. Again, ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 now. Our first question comes from Thiago Batista with Itaú BBA.
Hi, guys. Good morning. I have two questions. The first one regarding the ROE of the Central American business. We noted that the profitability of the international business declined from 12% in last Q to around 10% in this quarter. How do you explain this small contraction in the profitability? This was caused by the operational side or only the change in the accounting system? And moreover, how is the level of profitability that we're expecting for the Central American business during this year? This is the first question. And the second one, if you could comment about your asset quality. How are you seeing the delinquency ratio evolution in coming quarters, and how much do you believe the cost of credit will be?
Yes, hi. Thank you for the question. I would want to explain the return on equity for the international subsidiaries in Central America. We have had a return on equity of 10%. Our expectation for the year 2015
will be also at 10%. We have had some accounting effect on last year, on December 14th, mainly due to the application of new IFRS standards in Panama and the write-off of some IT projects in Costa Rica. In this year, in 2015, we have had less expenses on loan loss reserves and provisions, especially in Panama. As I was mentioning, we expect the full year to be at a 10% return on equity, and we expect our expectations are to rise that return to 13% by the year 2018, more in line with our competitors in each of the countries. We're just reaching mostly the average for equivalent banks and businesses in each of the countries where we are.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. In the second question related to NPL, what deterioration we are expecting for the rest of the year, we see that in the total amount, we think that we will be about 1.9%. That is close to the 1.95%. That is close to the same level that we have today. However, we are expecting some deterioration in consumer portfolio. In consumer portfolio, we have 2.16 in March, and we think that it's possible to finish around 2.35%. In mortgage portfolio, and we think that we will be around 2.35, but more than a result of some changes in the policy, the policy of the write-off. We have to change the time to write-off from 2 years, something like 2 years and a half for international standards. But we don't identify any change in the risk profile model. So in commercial portfolio, we think that it's possible to be in the same level that we have today, around 1.6-1.7%. In general terms, we think that it's possible to be higher in 20 basis points at the end of the year.
Okay, thank you. Very clear.
Thank you. Again, ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 now. Again, ladies and gentlemen, that was star 1 to ask a question. Our next question comes from Anibal Valdez with Barclays.
Hi, good morning, guys. Thank you for the opportunity. So I further clarify something regarding the solvency ratio. So you guys showed Common Equity Tier 1 ratio of 7% as of March, but then you show, I think it's page 16 of the press release, that it goes up to 8%, and that would be related to the payment of dividends. So can you walk me through how that works, and what do you expect for solvency levels to look like by the end of the year? That would be the first question. And the second question is regarding credit spread. What is your guidance for credit spread throughout 2015? Thank you.
Yes. In terms of our capital structure, we the annual shareholder meeting decide to increase the capital in 929 billion pesos in the last meeting. And this number has two different explanations. One is the legal reserve is increasing in 176 billion pesos. That represents 30 basis points in Q1. And the other number that is very important is the payment in stock dividend that the annual shareholder meeting decided. That was
752 billion pesos.
There is part of our profit in between years that were in our reserve account, and in that decision, when we pay with shares dividend, this amount is moving to a Q1. So this number represented 120 base point of Q1. So in these two concepts, we have more than we have 150 basis point as a result of that decision increasing over Q1. In addition, in this meeting, the meeting decided to compromise some amount of our operational reserve, and that reserve start to be part of the Q2 ratio, and that represents over 68 basis points. So finally, that movement of profit and other reserve, finally, we distribute in T1 and T2 these numbers. In our local solvency ratio regulation, the occasional reserve, the profit that we have in the year are not included in the solvency ratio. So that is the point. To each March, we have to or the annual meeting, in the annual meeting, to decide that kind of movement.
Maybe I'd like to tell you that the assembly takes the decision in March. However, the payment, the issue of the stocks to pay the dividend stocks process take time. It has to go to a legal process and to the process to bring the issue of the stock, and that was made in April. That is the reason why those 752 million billion goes to the tier one capital only in April.
And our forecast in terms of solvency ratio at the end of the year is to be around 11.50%. During the year, explained by the growth that we established that is possible to have at the end of the year, that process consumed part of this situation, and our figure said that during the year, we consume 100 basis points. So at the end of the year, we'll be around 11.3%, 11.5%. We're at close to 7%.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay, in terms of NIM, we have been the margin has been increasing in the last 3 years, and this year we observe the same behavior, the same reading. And obviously, in the asset, we have more pressure to reduce interest rate. And on the other side, the liquidity has been a little bit narrow in this year. So right now we have a NIM close to 6.7%, and we think that it's possible to be 20 basis points below.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I was asking that second question because some of your competitors in another call mentioned that there was pressure on lending rates, and there's also they see an increase in the competition for funding sources. Is that something, a view that you share at Davivienda?
Yes, well, yes, we're seeing that we have a strong competence in the market, and that is the reason why our forecast is that our NIM is going to lower in this year at least 20 basis points.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. Again, ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 now. Again, ladies and gentlemen, that was star 1 to ask a question. Again, ladies and gentlemen, that's star 1 to ask a question now. Our next question is a follow-up question from Thiago Batista with Itaú BBA.
Yeah, hi guys, I'm again. A very specific question about the IFRS. When I compare the IFRS figures with the Colombian GAAP, we noted a big decline in the service fee income. Could you comment about this change in the accounting that affected the fees?
Well, we have in the new IFRS standards to add in the same account in the fee income, those income and the expenses related to generate those fee income. That is the reason why we have that that result that is about 1%, the growth of the 1%. We see the gross income is growing at about 9%, and the costs related to those fee income is growing at about 10%. And that is impacted mainly by the exchange rate.
Okay, so this line is the net of the expenses, so, okay, makes sense. Thanks for the explanation.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 now. At this time, there are currently no more questions in the queue. It is now my pleasure to turn the conference call over back to Mr. Efraín Ferrero for closing remarks.
Well, I want to thank you all to be with us today. As we might see, we are working very hard. We see that the results are quite well, and we are really optimistic about the year 2015. The economy is slowing down in Colombia, and we foresee a lower growth in our loan portfolio in Colombia and a very good behavior in Central America. We will be working very hard in efficiency, in the different areas in efficiency in the bank. And we are optimistic about the results in the year 2015. Thank you very much for your company today.